Look at this. These are little tiny grapes. These are the muscadine grapes that are very well known in Central Texas. Hey, Rhody, you want some grapes? You interested in some grapes or just toys? What? Time to play? Let's play with some grapes. Welcome to Brighttown Broadcast News for Thursday, March 21st, 2024. I'm Mike Adams, and I was in the lab today cleaning off burned glyphosate residue from the triple quad mass spec instrument. And since I haven't actually filmed videos in the lab for a while, I thought I would just show you. This is a couple of minutes of me just kind of showing you some of the components. And just to let you know, this is before we cleaned it. So this is when we opened it up, and the interface for the mass spec is all like burned on food sample, you know, nebulized residue. So it's kind of interesting. But anyway, check out this short video and then we will continue. Okay, I wanted to show you guys the cleaning that we're doing. This is our triple quad that we use to test for glyphosate. And there's even the serial number of this unit. And as you can see, it's got some buildup of some residue. This actually gets quite hot. The cone goes here. This is actually right here. This is the cone enclosure. And we are disassembling that for cleaning right now. And then there's another, there's a smaller actual cone that goes inside it, which is right here. And so all these pieces have to be removed and clean. And then this is the latch that puts it back in. This whole thing is called the interface. And out of this right here comes a little needle with the nebulizer. And actually, we have that. It's right here. There's the nebulizer needle injector piece, which I'm trying not to lose. And that plugs in right here in this valve. And so what happens is the samples are taken up here from the auto sampler right here, and it goes through. This is the, 100 microliter injector. This determines volume of injection right there. Here's the pump. Goes through the column, which is located here. This is a thermocolumn. And then it goes through these valves. And then this nebulizes it with this needle. And this is some of the carrier gas tubes right here. I think both of these are nitrogen, actually. And then once it does that, it goes through this cone into the mass spec, which is behind all of this. So there are three mass spectrometry hardware sections behind this. And that's why this instrument is so long, because all the mass spec is back in here. And once it goes in the mass spec, then that's how we shatter the molecules, and then we can determine whether it's glyphosate or not based on the ion fragmentation and also the masses of both the fragments as well as the parent mass of the molecule itself, the actual glyphosate molecule, before fragmentation. So we're just in maintenance mode right here, right now. And this is necessary to do this kind of maintenance. I just want to show you kind of what it looks like here at CWC Labs. Thanks for watching. All right, we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got gold has now broken through $2,200 per ounce. Gold is just skyrocketing. It's up 10% in 1 month, folks. 10% in 1 month. And as you know, it doesn't mean that gold itself is becoming necessarily more valuable. It's that the dollar is collapsing. And the collapse of the dollar is accelerating. And in the financial news marketplace, we saw Jerome Powell announce that it looks like there are going to be three more rate cuts this year. Well, three rate cuts. I guess there hasn't been one yet. But three rate cuts this year. What? What? It's because they're lying to themselves, saying there's no inflation.
How are they not seeing inflation? Are they not looking at the producer price index? Are they not looking at food prices? Are they not looking at the cost of living, rent prices, you know, energy, utilities, all these things, that services, but especially food? We can say food. It's all more expensive. And they don't factor food into any of the inflation numbers. So they're pretending, they're living in their bubble, all those people in the DC area and, you know, in the Washington control grid bubble with the central bank, the treasury, and the Biden regime and so on. They're all telling themselves, oh, there's no inflation, so let's cut rates, you know, to boost the economy. So they're going to cut rates because they want to pump up the bubble a little bit more one last time. The final blowout stage, as they're printing $1 trillion every 100 days. This is the blowout. That's why gold is skyrocketing. Oh, and silver is up to $25.63 when I checked right before recording this. Amazing. Gold and silver are moving very strongly. Of course, Bitcoin, it was up around 70K. It's pulled back a little bit from that, but it's in the mid 60s right now, which is an astonishing comeback from where it was after the FTX collapse. And again, my theory is, and I'm quite confident of this, that people who know what's going on are dumping the dollar and they're moving into assets that will tend to hold value. Gold, silver, Bitcoin, and other cryptos too. I mean, I like Monero because it's a privacy coin. I also like having, you know, ammunition and firearms and diesel fuel and things like that that have real intrinsic value, emergency medicine, you know, iodine, all these things have intrinsic value. So just keep that in mind. When you see gold cross through $2,200 and it's climbing, you know something's up. You know the dollar's collapsing. There are two interviews I did recently that I really encourage you to check out. Both of these interviews are up on my channel page on Brighteon.com as well as my page on rumble.com. And the most recent one this week was with Andy Shechtman. And I strongly encourage you to check that out because he nails it with the collapse of the dollar and the coming bank bail-ins. And then also I interviewed John Rubino. I think that was last week. You'll find that on my channel page as well. And John Rubino is the founder of dollarcollapse.com. He's got his own Substack page now. You know, he's a top-notch analyst, and he's warning about the scale of this coming collapse. It's going to be absolutely massive. And if you just go back and review my interviews with people like David Morgan, oh, and I should mention, David Morgan has given us permission to use all his videos for training our AI system, our language model. So that's all in the pipeline. Thank you, David Morgan, the silver guru. And we've also received permission from many other people, many other experts. We'll be announcing them coming up. Don't forget to sign up to download our free large language model. It's free, open source, releasing in less than 3 weeks at brighteon.ai. All right. So anyway, another form of wealth is food. And wild food is my favorite kind of food. And I was out walking my animals today. And guess what? The little muscadine grapes are starting to come in. The little tiny grapes, just the initial formation of the grapes. So I grabbed a video for you. Check it out. Look at this. These are little tiny grapes. These are the muscadine grapes that are very well known in Central Texas. And the little tiny grapes are just starting to form. These grow wild. They're very high in anthocyanidins. And of course they have the PCOs in their seeds and the skins are very rich. Look at this. Oh man, we're gonna have so many grapes. Hey Rhody, you want some grapes? You interested in some grapes or just toys? Time to play? Let's play with some grapes. Yeah. Can't wait to harvest some of those. A lot of people make wine out of these too. Muscadine Texas wine. I've never tried that, but some people say it's really awesome. Wild food is where it's at, folks.
Now, those muscadine grapes are going to come in very handy when the total collapse of the food infrastructure is upon us. And we've got news today about the collapse of the transportation system that has been announced by the Biden administration. Yes, they have announced that they're going to destroy transportation. Seriously, I'll translate that for you. But you're going to need to be able to grow some amount of your own food. You're going to need to have a seed supply. You're going to need to be able to barter. And so I've got some cool things for you. Number one, today's interview is with Patriot Green Products. That's Kevin Fretz in studio with me in Texas. And he brought some stuff, little show and tell stuff. Pretty cool. We get to play with the dirt. Always fun. And then we were joined by Jim Gale. And foodforestabundance.com is his website. And Jim Gale is a bundle of energy. That's why we call him Gale Force Winds, man. He is, he blows into the studio and out of the studio like a whirlwind storm of positive energy. It's incredible. So you don't want to miss that interview. And I'm going to try to keep this short so we can get to that. Don't forget that Marjorie Wildcraft's free course, which it's called the Wartime Homefront Essential Skills Course. That airs Saturday, March 30th, free at Brighton University, which is brightu.com. You can go there, register for it now, and we start airing that one episode each day on a 24-hour loop. And that's from Marjorie Wildcraft. You can also check out my interview with her that aired last week, and she teaches you how to grow food when you have to, when it's your survival. You can also purchase the entire digital course if you wish at brightonuniversity.com, all spelled out. Just scroll down and you'll see the course there. Or you could just watch it for free at brightu.com. But that begins March 30th. And what is that? 9 days away, roughly, give or take. See if we can do math. Basic integers. Okay. One news item before we get into the deliberate destruction of the transportation infrastructure. Check this out. Revolver News covered this. Tennessee Senate passes bill to end chemtrails. So remember that how the corporate media has said for years that chemtrails were just a conspiracy theory. There's no chemtrails, they would say. Well, in Tennessee, the state Senate just passed a bill that's going to outlaw the spraying of chemicals for geoengineering purposes in the skies over the state. The bill would ban, quote, the intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of the sunlight. Yeah, 24 senators voted in favor, 6 opposed. Probably Democrats. We love blocking the sun and destroying crops. Yeah. That's Democrats now. They just want to murder humanity. It's engineered famine. You know, they're celebrating it in their dungeons or whatever. But 24 senators voted in favor. So this means that not only are chemtrails about to be banned over the skies of Tennessee, but also this is a confirmation that senators are getting it about chemtrails. They are understanding what chemtrails are, which, I mean, that's huge. Now, it's pretty wild that the corporate media still says chemtrails are a conspiracy theory, even when our own federal government talks about stratospheric aerosol injection. I mean, they openly brag about it. Like, we're going to block the sun and save the planet. But then you call it a conspiracy theory when we point out that you're doing it. Yeah, think about how crazy that is when they brag about it. Like, yeah, we're going to spray stuff into the atmosphere and block the sun and cool the planet, and this is going to save the planet. And then you say, what? You're spraying stuff into the atmosphere? And then their answer is, no, that's a conspiracy theory. What are you talking about? You just said you're going to spray stuff into the atmosphere and block the sun. No, we didn't. You said that. No, I mean, it's like talking with insane people, which is, of course, that's who's running the government these days, so no surprise. You know what? If we have time, I'm going to ask my language model, you know, the one I demonstrated for you yesterday. I'm going to ask it, what are chemtrails? And let's just see what it says. But I think I have to reload the model, so that might take some time. In the meantime, let me cover this other news that is absolutely bizarre. Fox News covered this. Not that Fox is
a trusted network, but they did cover this, so we'll just go with that. Biden admin set to finalize major gas car crackdown over warnings from automakers' energy industry. Now, first of all, that's a bad headline. Instead of saying over warnings, it should have said despite warnings, okay? So I don't know who's writing the headlines at Fox News, but they're not very good. They need a little refresher course in communications. I would have said Biden administration to finalize major crackdown on gasoline-powered vehicles despite warnings from automakers, comma, energy industry. That's what I would have said. Anyway, the EPA, which, as you know, is an out-of-control rogue federal agency that just makes up its own fake science and then uses it to bludgeon the nation with its dictates, is slated to issue the final rulemaking. Now I'm reading from the story, although the description of the EPA, that was my own depiction right there, is slated to issue the final rulemaking, which officials have boasted will incentivize greater adoption of electric vehicles, but which opponents have criticized as a de facto mandate. And the final rulemaking will be in place as soon as Wednesday, industry sources told Fox News. The regulations would ultimately force automakers to more rapidly expand electric options in their fleets, beginning in a matter of years. Jason Isaac, the CEO of the American Energy Institute, which is probably, I'm guessing, tied to some of the fossil fuels industry, says, quote, "This is purely being done for campaign reasons to really appease the leftist large donor base that are the climate alarmists that are driving this movement towards reality, towards really what is a forced energy transition, which is just increasing the cost of everything." Mr. Isaac is absolutely correct. So, first of all, consumers don't want EVs. Most don't. That's why they're not buying them. And that's why car dealers are saying they don't want to carry them. And this is why automobile manufacturers are now retooling and converting away from EVs more and more. And this is why car rental companies like Hertz, I think the CEO just had to resign because he was a numbskull and bought, I don't know, like 100,000 EVs or something. And it turns out they're a nightmare. They're expensive to insure. They're expensive to repair. It's very difficult to get parts. There's not enough charging stations. It takes a long time to charge them. They're very, very heavy. They put extra strain on roads and on parking garage structures, one of which collapsed in New York, possibly because of EVs being parked there. I mean, EVs are a total nightmare based on current technology. Not to say that they won't someday be awesome. You know, if batteries could hold a lot more energy, like 100 times more, and if they could weigh 100 times less, then, hey, they'd be awesome. But we're not there yet. The tech isn't there. And so EVs right now are just this enormous waste of energy. But, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats, they want to shut down combustion engines, which is really an attack on America's transportation infrastructure. That's the real purpose of this. It's not about saving the planet. I mean, today's combustion engine vehicles are so super clean, they hardly emit anything, even the diesels, because you have the diesel emissions fluid, the DEF. I'm always adding DEF. And I'm telling you, you can just breathe the exhaust coming out of a diesel tailpipe these days. Now, I'm not saying you should just sit there and just put your face right there and breathe it all day, but it's nothing like what it used to be. It's super clean now. Even diesel exhaust is super, super clean. And regular car, you know, combustion engine exhaust is also very, very clean. There's almost nothing coming out of the tailpipe that's really a pollutant, unless you consider carbon dioxide to be a pollutant, which is insane. That's a science quackery, because carbon dioxide is good for plants. Carbon dioxide grows plants. It's necessary for photosynthesis. It helps the trees. It helps the rainforest. It helps the grasses and the food crops. Actually, if you're driving around in a combustion vehicle emitting carbon dioxide, you're basically distributing plant nutrition. It helps plants grow better than Brondo, you know? It's got what plants crave. So Joe Biden and the out-of-control EPA are trying to shut down combustion engines. Now, that will shut down transportation of food and transportation of parts and transportation of materials. I mean, this will destroy logistics across America because they're also, they're targeting trucks, not just cars. In California, they've targeted transport trucks to where now you have to have a special California compliant truck to take a load from the port to the border of California, like let's say California and Arizona, and then you can transfer it to a regular truck to drive from Arizona to wherever you're going across the country. But California has all these special requirements now, which make it, you know, insanely difficult and expensive to transport goods, you know, from California ports. Now, this sabotage of energy and transportation infrastructure goes along with the sabotage of the food infrastructure. And we've talked about how in Oregon, they're shutting down family farms. They're doing that all across Europe. The EPA tried to regulate water puddles in farms all across America. The EPA tried to regulate CO2 to claim that it could control everything, every form of life in the country because CO2 might be involved. And the EPA said, we are in charge of regulating CO2, which means they could regulate your breathing, by the way. They could regulate all plants, all wildlife, everything. The Supreme Court kind of shot that down, by the way, but they tried to. The EPA wanted to run everything. They wanted to rule the world by claiming dominion over CO2. Well, now the EPA wants to claim dominion over everything that comes out of a tailpipe. And basically they're saying that if it comes out of a tailpipe, we can shut it down. Well, that's going to include CO2. So the EPA is declaring war on combustion engines, and it's combustion engines that frankly made modern civilization and the 8 billion population on our planet possible. If you don't have combustion engines, you know, billions of people die. I'm just being straightforward here. Well, you think everybody's going to live in a 15-minute city walking around on the new globalist, you know, Lahaina on Maui? Oh, look at our 15-minute city. We don't have to have a car. We can eat bugs right next door. No, that's not going to work for everybody. Just a few libtards who are probably getting paid, like crunching on bugs on camera. And then as soon as they stop recording, they're spitting that crap out and vomiting on the side of the set. You know, what'd you make me eat? Freaking stir-fried cockroaches. Makes a crunchy stir-fry. Toss in a little cayenne pepper and soy sauce. It's delicious. Yeah. Now I know why all these LGBT leftist snowflake men are all into climate change and eating the bugs, because someone told them that, hey, how would you like to eat some cockroaches? And they're like, yeah, sign me up. If I heard you correctly. Just these people are insane. Now in Canada, they have an electric vehicle mandate. And according to an analysis, this was covered by the Fraser Institute and published by LifeSite News, this vehicle mandate, this EV mandate, could cause Canada's power grid to collapse. Yeah, because they're not building enough infrastructure to handle the power demand that would be necessary if all these people get EVs. So from the story, a noted fiscally conservative think tank warned that a proposed federal mandate from the government of Prime Minister Justin Castro Trudeau to ban the sale of new gasoline diesel-powered cars after 2035 and allow electric-only sales is an unrealistic fantasy that would cause massive chaos by threatening to collapse the nation's power grids. Well, of course it would cause chaos. Quote, requiring all new vehicle sales in Canada to be electric in just 11 years means the provinces need to substantially increase their power generation capabilities, and they need to add the equivalent of 10 new mega dams or 13 new gas plants in such a short timeline. It isn't realistic or feasible, said Cornelis van Kooten. That's one of the coolest names that we've had recently. A Fraser Institute senior fellow and author of Failure to Charge, A Critical Look at Canada's EV Policy. Well, Cornelis van Kooten, Love the name. As you know, the whole point of the EV mandate in Canada is not to let people have transportation. It's to strand people with dead EVs where the power grid can't charge them all. That's the whole point, is to, you know, turn the whole country into a slave state where people can't take themselves where they want to go because there are no combustion engines remaining. And this is, of course, yeah, it's insane. I mean, Justin Trudeau is a destroyer of worlds. And thank God he's not the prime minister of the whole planet, because he's done enough damage in one country alone. But this is happening in California as well and other blue states in the United States. And folks, do you realize that as these mandates kick in, do you realize that a gasoline or diesel engine vehicle with low mileage is going to be worth a fortune? Because people will beg for them. And if you're not allowed to sell new ones in the years ahead, no new sales of combustion engines, well, then the used ones are going to be worth a fortune. And those diesel engines last for hundreds of thousands of miles, by the way, the good ones do. You know, like the Cummins diesel engines, those last. So, folks, it's something to think about. Another asset that is actually going to be in very high demand in the years ahead. Or people could just stand around with no electricity, with an EV vehicle plug in one hand and their nutsack in the other hand going, there's no power. Yeah, what did you think was going to happen? The power grid doesn't work. Yeah, because your prime minister is a woketard, a complete freaking moron. Hey, I have a solution for Canada. All you do, you buy big diesel generators and you install them right next to the EV charging stations. Yeah, because that's what they do all over the place now. Oh, you want to have an EV charging station out in the desert where there's really no power grid? Oh, guess what? You put a big diesel generator right there and you pump in diesel. Put a big diesel tank there. Oh, now you have an EV charging station. Yeah. And people will drive up and use that, not realizing that they are like living, walking parodies of woketardism. Like, why don't you just buy a diesel vehicle? Fill your vehicle with diesel, and it would be so much more efficient. Because, you know, you lose energy during the conversion. And battery charging isn't 100% efficient anyway. It's better for the planet to just have a diesel truck. Really. It really is better for the planet to have a non-electric combustion engine vehicle. So my prediction is that before all these things could kick in 2035, this whole industry collapses. The EV industry is going to collapse anyway. And there are already huge discounts on EVs. You can buy, you know, used Teslas, whatever, that were part of car rental companies. And the reason they're discounted so much is because even after you buy it, sometimes you have to replace the battery pack, which costs more than the entire vehicle, more than what you paid for the used vehicle. So yeah, you might pick up a used Tesla for like $15,000, and then you find out the battery pack is $25,000. What? Sure seems a lot cheaper to just go to the gas station, put in a couple of gallons of gas. How did nobody see this? It's like, how did EVs just kind of creep into the consciousness of the country without anybody thinking about consequences? Huh? All right, I've got a special report for you here called The Globalist Depopulation Plan is Behind Schedule, which means they're really going to try to catch up as quickly as they can. And what does that mean they're going to do? Well, listen up. I talk about it in this short special report. It's under 10 minutes. And then we will go to the interview right after that report. You know, given that globalists are trying to exterminate billions of people on planet Earth, they really haven't done a good job yet, from their point of view. They've failed so far. They probably thought they could kill at least a billion with the vaccine jabs, and maybe they will over time. But it certainly hasn't happened all at once, right? I agree that turbo cancers are skyrocketing and immune suppression is worsening and autoimmune disorders are worsening. There's no question they're going to kill probably 100 million over subsequent years. Will that ever reach a billion? I don't know. Probably not until they release something else. And that's the point here. Because the globalists are not getting the results that they wanted, because so many people were able to share the truth about things like ivermectin or zinc or quercetin, you know, people were still able to learn how to protect themselves from this bioweapon. And that thwarted the government's plans, you see. So they're going to have to now release something new, something far more deadly, maybe a hemorrhagic fever type of virus, maybe Ebola variants or something, maybe a chimeric combination of bioweapons or, you know, toxic particles, I say, because I'm not too sure about this whole field of virology right now. A lot of it seems to be fraud. So I think what they're actually building is toxic particles that affect biology. And that's what I'm referring to as bioweapons. Not exactly the same as chemical weapons, but they might also be making chemical weapons too. Who knows? We know they are contaminating the food supply. We know that they're approving toxic poisons as herbicides and pesticides and food additives. We know that they're running chemtrails in the sky. We know they're building 5G networks in order to cause electric pollution and target people with beams of energy, which is how 5G actually works. It's beams that follow you around. I mean, if you're holding a 5G device, it specifically targets you. And we also know that the globalists are unleashing violent criminals onto the streets. They're keeping an open borders policy so that the United States is invaded with more criminals and gangs and human traffickers and weapons traffickers and so on. Everything that they are doing is designed to kill you. Just like Oregon is attacking and shutting down small family farms now. That's designed to cause a food crisis. It's engineered famine. But the question remains, if they're not getting the results yet, what is the next step of escalation in their playbook? I think the answer is being shared with us. I think there's a lot of foreshadowing in the media that is getting us psychologically prepared for the new narrative. One such story I saw recently is a story about how America's water supplies are vulnerable to hacking attacks and we might not have safe water. We've also seen a lot of stories that urge us to be prepared for a collapse of the power grid, or that cyber attacks might bring down the entire power grid infrastructure, or that we should be prepared for, you know, maybe an EMP weapon, or Russia has launched EMP weapons into orbit. That was even covered by the mainstream media, and we've confirmed that's true. Russia does have an orbital EMP weapons platform that is functional right now, and the DoD is fully aware of it. How much you want to bet the leaders of the United States want Russia to nuke America with an EMP weapon? Because you notice how at every opportunity, America's political leaders, all they want to do is betray America. They never make a decision, it seems, that helps protect this country. There are a few exceptions, notably, you know, in Congress and in the Senate. There are a few exceptions, but across the board, by and large, every decision they make is a betrayal of America because they don't want you to survive. And they are going to ramp up their war against we the people. And it's not just we the people, Americans or patriots, it's we the human race. That's what the war is actually targeting. So we should expect now 9/11 on steroids, you know, 9/11 times 1,000. We're talking about, let's say, casualties on the order of 300,000 people. That would be, you know, taking down the power grid of a major city, or somebody in the deep state detonating a nuclear weapon in a major U.S. city, or some kind of similar event that would kill hundreds of thousands of people. This is more on the scale that the globalists are looking for. They need to be killing, from their point of view, a bunch of twisted psychopaths, they need to be killing millions of people at a time, not just a few thousand or tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands. They need to be killing millions of people around the world because, you know, there's 8 billion people right now, And in order for the globalists to achieve their goal of knocking that down to half a billion, they've got to eliminate 7.5 billion people. And so far, that is not happening. So they're going to up the game, which means they're going to need a narrative to cover these things. They're going to need to be able to say, oh, it's Russia when a nuke goes off in a U.S. city. Or, oh, we were hacked by China or North Korea when the power grid goes down. Or an EMP weapon drops out of the sky. Oh, that was North Korea, or that was Iran, or, you know, whatever happens, they're going to have a cover story for it, of course, even though they're probably doing it themselves. But that doesn't make it any easier for you and I to prepare for it. We need to be prepared for a major escalation of the government's own war on humanity, because that's exactly where this is going. You can see the war on food and farms right now. It's not debatable. It's not an argument. It's not a theory. It's actually happening. Farms are being shut down all across Western Europe. The governments are seizing them and shutting them down. Same thing happening in California, in Oregon, and many other states across the U.S. The farms are under attack. The EPA is attacking farms, has been for many years. This is designed to engineer famine. So those who survive this are going to be, number one, people who anticipate the maneuvers of the globalists. You need to anticipate nuclear attacks, grid down, cyber false flags. You need to anticipate World War III. You need to anticipate total sabotage of the food infrastructure, financial failure, bank failure, massive poverty, you know, criminals running through the streets, gang warfare in U.S. cities. When you anticipate that, which is a very wise thing to do, then you are able to prepare for it. Then you can take all necessary steps, like getting the hell out of the cities, which you should be doing anyway, for lots of reasons. But you can also then internally justify your own preparedness activities, learning the skills that you need to learn, you know, taking the time to do that, gathering the tools that you need, gathering the resources, whether it's, you know, prepping items like garden seeds or ammunition or gold or whatever, but also taking time to learn the skills, you know, acquire the books that you need on your shelf as reference. And by the way, speaking of that, don't forget to sign up to download our new AI engine at Brighteon.ai, because that engine is being trained on over 1,000 books, including preparedness books, survival books, gardening books, permaculture books. Right now, it's only trained on fewer than 100. By the release date, which is the first week of April, it'll be trained on, I don't know, 50 books or something like that, but we've got hundreds more in the pipeline, and throughout this year, it'll be trained on over 1,000 books. So you'll be able to ask it all kinds of questions about gardening and self-reliance and off-grid living. And it will function offline. You do not need an internet connection. So even if the internet goes down, as long as you have a computer, you have some electricity, you can still run this model. So it's pretty low tech, actually. And you should also have some hard copy books as a backup, you know, just in case. So sign up to download that tool at Brighteon.ai. It's free. It's open source. We will be releasing free editions all year long. Plus, you can watch more videos or podcasts or interviews at Brighteon.com. Check out some of the other channels as well. Check out Brighteon.tv. And also stay up with the latest news at Brighteon.social. And if you monitor the news feed there, you'll be amazed at what comes across the wire there that's posted by other users. So that's Brighteon.social. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Get ready. Take care. All right. Hope you enjoyed that special report. Now, we have the featured interview. Drum roll, please. Those were symbols. We have Kevin Fretz from PatriotGreenProducts.com. And we have Jim Gale from FoodForestAbundance.com. This is a really fun, fantastic interview. I love talking to these guys. Also, Rhody gets in on the action just a little bit. I had to make sure he didn't tear apart the raised grow bed that Kevin Fretz brought, because Rhody started looking at it like, is that a toy? Is it a giant green toy? And it turns out it's not a toy. And fortunately, he did not destroy it, but you can see it. Things got very dicey there for a minute. Anyway, enjoy this interview. Please support us at healthrangerstore.com. Remember, we sell ARC seed kits right now, available, non-GMO heirloom seeds. Just go on to healthrangerstore.com and search for seed kits. We also have, of course, storable long-term preparedness foods, certified organic, laboratory tested, vacuum sealed, nitrogen packed in very rugged brick shapes inside the buckets. We call them Ranger buckets, and we have mini buckets, mega buckets, and number 10 cans as well, with freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, all that stuff. Check it out at healthrangerstore.com, and thank you for your support. Enjoy this interview, and be sure to sign up for the Marjorie Wildcraft Emergency Food Grow Course. Essential Skills for the Wartime Home Front at brightu.com. All right, enjoy the interview. Welcome, everybody, to this special episode here on brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and we have two amazing guests right here with you. And it's springtime in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's time to be growing food if you're not doing it already. And let me introduce my two guests here. We've got in studio Kevin Fretz from Patriot Green Products. Welcome, Kevin.
Yes, thank you very much, Mike. Good to be back.
Awesome to have you here. Yes. And I know you've got some show and tell. You got some new innovations from last year and a way to turn food scraps into fertilizer, pre-soil.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to show you here as a show and tell and a food grow system you're going to talk about. And then we've got Jim Gale joining us from Florida, from foodforestabundance.com. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Mike. Good to see you, Kevin.
Yes, great to see you too, Jim.
It's awesome to connect with you again, Jim. Everybody loves talking with you and loves your enthusiasm and what you're doing there. You're a pioneer in the state of Florida, turning what was, I guess, just a sandy area into an abundant food forest. So awesome job you're doing there.
Thank you, brother. We are 2 years in, and we have way more food than our family can eat right now. And I don't have to maintain it. Nature does it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's good you have so much food because you have so many visitors there. We'll talk about that later, how people can come visit your, what do you call it? Ranch, campus, food forest?
A Freedom Farm Academy.
Freedom Farm Academy. Okay, perfect. We'll get into more details about that shortly. Now, Kevin, thank you for coming in studio here. It's always great to have you. Last year we had you on, there was a huge response because you have this really amazing, compost product made from the shredded mulch of the Lost Pines trees
that were damaged in the
Bastrop fires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you've been shipping that out to people ever since. And you give us just a quick background of patriotgreenproducts.com. Okay. I've got the website up. Guys, be sure to show the website. Quick background of what you're doing.
So Patriot Green Products is a fairly new company. It's a couple years old now, but it was developed with over 32 years of intellectual property, which was pretty much been my career in the organics industry. We love our veterans. We love our first responders. And we love folks that are disabled. We want to give back. So we founded this company, and we offer opportunities to veterans, first responders that may be retired that want to, pursue a new career. Of course, we feel that we're policing our farms now, and quality is a really, really important thing for us, especially when you're putting organic materials in the ground. We want to know what's in it before it goes into the ground. So the standards that we set are the highest standards in the United States. We're protecting our communities and protecting our farms and growing healthy food.
So specifically, I remember you don't make compost out of yard or like government park clippings that have been sprayed with glyphosate and atrazine and pesticides and all that garbage.
That's true,
wildcrafted compost, you could say.
Yes. So two types of compost we would make. Of course, the materials we have here in Texas are probably the best material I've ever had in my career. Very, very clean. You tested it as well.
That's right, we did.
And so, but generally speaking, we never use curbside collected materials because they're contaminated. People are spraying glyphosate on their lawns and, insecticides. Generally, it's very salty material as well. It's high nitrogen and has phosphorus and potassium in it, but it has a lot of other things that we don't want. So we don't allow that in any of our compost. We do make compost from arborist materials, from tree trimmings.
Right.
Clean tree trimmings. We even, track them where they come from, just to make sure that everything is nice and clean and good quality. And then we're focusing on the biological aspects of things to find good biological diversity. And that's how we make our products.
You have a special mix of microbes, I know,
that we do.
You use in your compost. We'll get back to that. Let me go to Jim Gale. And Jim, I know our audience is probably already familiar with you, but give us the quick background story of foodforestabundance.com and what you're doing.
So I learned what was going on about 17, 18 years ago, and I became obsessed with asking the question, how do we catalyze a shift that leads to mass adoption of permaculture, which is simply using our resources wisely, which is logical on every conceivable level. And I'll give you a quick example. This is, as I mentioned, a two-year-old food forest that has a ridiculous amount of excess food growing, and it's less maintenance than a lawn. Like, that is so fun to convey that message. We have done far less maintenance here than if this were a lawn. So our job is to organize. In fact, Martin Luther King said, those who love peace must learn to organize as well as those who love war. And when we do, we will have peace. So what I've been obsessed with is that sentiment. How do we organize? So we have now created a council of 12 of solution providers of the highest caliber, people that have scalable solutions like Kevin, like Patriot Greens, like Joel Salatin and Theo Fleury and Doc Chambers and Pat Miletich and all of these world changers, world champions, Olympic champions. And we're bringing together all the solutions in such a way as to be accessible to the masses globally.
And I love that your timing is so wonderful, Jim, because we were just covering this story yesterday. I was telling you about it off camera, where the state of Oregon is issuing cease and desist orders to small family farms to shut down. They're making it a crime to irrigate your crops. They're making it a crime to have backyard chickens. If you put gravel down or if you put straw, they consider you to be a CAFO, even if you only have 10 hens, and they shut you down. There is an assault on food and farming, the entire food supply infrastructure. So what you're doing, Jim, and what you're offering here, Kevin, this is critical for people to learn to grow their own food and be more self-reliant. So God bless you, Jim.
Well, thank you. And I just add this one layer is we've now built 11 structures here, and we did not ask, nor will we ever ask, the slave masters for permission, because that's what we got to do. We have to stand up, and we are doing this very strategically. In fact, I've had some good friends say, you're going to go to jail, you're going to get whacked, all that blah, blah, blah. It's all fear-based stuff. We are standing in service to humanity, to God, to nature, in such a visible way, in large part, thanks, Mike, to you and to these other influencers that get it. And we are saying, no, we will not only not comply, but we will demonstrate a better way, and we will invite you to do the better way with us, but we're not going to do it your way.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I remember from previous interviews, Jim, you talking about how you're actually also producing and giving away food to the local community as you have it available, and that's only going to increase. So, you know, you're showing the value of your philosophy to the local community.
Yes.
And they would be insane to try to shut you down when you're producing the food that's the healthiest, most nutritious food in the world.
Yeah.
In fact, let's talk about that, Kevin. So
you've
got a number of products available at patriotgreenproducts.com. Mm-hmm. Be sure to show his website. Now, just for transparency, this is not a paid promotion.
No.
You know, we're not, we don't earn anything off the sales of your products.
You don't.
What you have done, you've given me some samples last year and this year's things to try out, and I very much appreciate that. But this is not a paid promotion. But I love your products. My family uses your products, by the way, to grow food here in Texas. And you've got compost, you've got worm castings, you've also got a larger, I don't know what you call them.
Super sacks, on
pallets. Yeah. So can you give us a rundown of sort of what you have available right now for springtime gardening? People want to get started and take advantage of your products.
Sure, absolutely. So springtime is here, so we should be conditioning our soils. We should also be using compost teas. So we have our compost tea brewer, the small one. We also have larger ones that are on our website right now. We're looking at two manufacturers right now for our compost tea brewers.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we're always trying to find the best value for our customers. You know, some things are too expensive, and we know it. So we're always looking for something that's going to give them what they need with quality and with price. So as far as our products are concerned, we now have a raised bed garden mix, which is our thunder soil.
Thunder soil.
Yeah. And then we have our new worm castings available to you. Now, those are both available on our website. You can go on there and buy them today. And then we have some things that are coming soon. Within 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to have food waste dehydration equipment, which this is going to show your viewers how you can make your own, I would call it microbe mix. I wouldn't call it compost. A lot of manufacturers that manufacture these types of machines, they claim it makes compost. It's not compost. It's dehydrated ground food waste, but it's nutrient-dense materials that when you mix in with your compost, you can feed your microbes and ultimately close the loop.
Okay, so hold on. Show us what's in that jar that you brought. Right. I think, is that food scraps?
These are food scraps, and this is exactly what I put in this last night.
So what is that?
There's orange peels in there. There's some old muffins in there. There's eggshells in there.
Okay. No meat, obviously.
You could put meat in it as well.
Oh, you could.
Believe it or not. Yeah, you can put meat in it as well.
And so you just dump that into the machine.
Exactly.
And then what happens next?
And I'll show you what happens.
Oh. You're going to give us a full demo?
I'm going to show you.
Check this out, Jim.
We're making
powdered food waste here.
Understand that this was completely filled with this material, right?
Okay.
So this is how much it comes out.
Whoa.
That's it.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me show this on camera.
So there's a comparable.
I don't know if we can how much we can show here, but so from that jar down to this, and it's dried.
It's kind of dried.
Is there a grinder in there?
There's a grinder in there. Yes, there's a grinder.
So it grinds it up and dries it.
Dries it out and grinds it. So you can use this for chicken feed. You can supplement your chickens.
No way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you can put it in your compost.
Or you put it in your compost, or we can feed it to worms and make vermicompost, worm castings out of it.
Or you could throw it in a Vitamix and make a smoothie out of it.
You could. I don't know.
Call it a probiotic smoothie.
Kind of a funny tasting smoothie, but yeah, you could do it. You definitely could do it. So these, we've been testing this particular model, and it works very, very well.
Wow.
But we're testing a couple others before we make a decision on which one we're going to bring to market.
That is so cool. But couldn't you also just put fresh tomatoes in there, like if you wanted to save them for later in the winter?
You could.
You could make your own tomato powder.
Yes, that's the other thing I was going to mention about this. You can put herbs in here, you know, if you want
to
dry down some herbs.
The mic there.
Yes, if you want to, you know, mix some herbs and spices, this will do that for you as well.
Wow. Okay. So this is the first time I've seen this. Jim, are you aware of this kind of machine?
Yes, I love those machines. They're very functional in certain situations, and I love that kind of ingenuity.
What do you call this kind of machine?
It's a food waste dehydrator.
Food waste dehydrator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, we make them commercially too, where you can put in up to 2 tons a day of food waste in them.
Wow.
So big food waste processors use them.
Wow. Okay. So what you're trying to do is, you know, bring the circle all the way around so that you're not throwing any food away off your property.
Yes.
Anything that you're not eating, you're putting back into the gardens. And I know, Jim, that's a philosophy that you teach and practice as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah, for us, it's so simple because we actually have a type of space where we simply, when we have anything left over, we just walk outside and throw it in the food forest.
Right.
But for people in apartments or people that have other situations, mm-hmm. those systems are awesome.
Yeah. And they reduce, they reduce their waste, obviously. And on a commercial level, this helps restaurants to reduce their waste disposal.
Yeah.
And then we like to see closed-loop programs, like with Jim growing food for restaurants, local restaurants. They could either bring it back if they're close enough, or they would have a dehydrator.
Yeah.
And then when Jim's delivering the food, they pick up the dehydrated materials and bring it back to the farm.
Wow.
Close the loop.
Wow, yeah. Fascinating. I mean, I live on a ranch, so I'm kind of more like Jim. I just take food scraps and kind of like chuck them around the
sure.
trees
or the chickens, or whatever, right?
if I'm feeding fresh eggs to my dogs, you know, I just open the egg and put it in their dog food, and then I chuck the eggshell because it's going to just go right back into the ground.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about it. But this is, like Jim said, this is great. So, is this something that Patriot Green Products is going to have?
We're going to be selling these, yes.
You're going to be selling these.
Yep, this is coming soon. Within 30 days, yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting. That's new. And then you have something else, which we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah,
your food, your raised bed.
Raised bed garden.
Mm-hmm. Garden.
Mm-hmm.
That's self-watering. That seems really interesting.
Right.
So Jim, let me ask you this. you have a very fortunate climate there, very wonderful environment for growing food, which makes it so amazing that so many people don't take advantage of it who live in Florida. They still go to the grocery store and buy processed food when they could grow it so easily. But not everybody has such a good climate. However, you've had a lot of success in many different areas across the country. Can you give us kind of a rundown of some of the clients that you've helped who have been growing food successfully in more challenging climates?
Oh, yes. We are now serving people in about 54 countries and 50 U.S. states. We have customers in Alaska and Minnesota. In fact, one of the most impressive food forests that I know of is actually in northern Minnesota, where it's really freaking cold. In fact, this guy has like 8 or 9 different varieties of kiwi alone. Probably a dozen different varieties of blueberry and raspberries and blackberries. So this science of permaculture can be done everywhere in the world. In fact, we are currently designing for the president of El Salvador, because we can design from the top down, from the big pattern, right? How do we change a country? Well, you start with good leadership, and it seems like that fellow is doing it pretty good. And then you design in to serve the prisons, the schools, and the slums, the ghettos. When we create food forests in these three things, we end the majority of crime, we end childhood disease, and we end, we raise the value of these lands where people don't get healthy food. And by doing so, everybody lifts.
Yeah, plus you reduce government spending on sick care and disease and disabilities, and people remain healthier and happier and more productive. I mean, there are direct economic benefits beyond health.
Exponential, brother. So I'll give you one number that I know. In the state of Florida, the state budget is over $90 billion. 5% of that equals $18 billion over 4 years. So this message is to Governor DeSantis and his incredible Dr. Joseph Latipo. I really love this fella.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's great.
Guys, I want to invite you to come to Galt's Landing, and we will design for you a strategy for the state of Florida where 5% of that budget reallocated will create 18,000 $1 million food forest installations in the state of Florida over 4 years. That's every school, every prison, every city park, every opportunity zone. That investment will change the world, because Florida will become the freest, healthiest state in the nation in 4 years. Hmm.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. I'm so glad you brought that up, because I've talked about this myself. You know, the prisons are fed the kind of food that creates mental disabilities and disorders that, you know, perpetuates the cycle of felons. And the schools, you know, feed children food that doesn't promote learning.
Yeah,
and this is like we're trapping people in this cycle of dead food, processed food, mineral depleted food.
Yes.
And that's got to change, man. And there's no better time to change it than right now. So I love what you're doing, Kevin, at Patriot Green Products. Tell us about the worm castings. Like, how are you? It must be quite an operation to generate and harvest those.
Right. We have partners that we're working with on that. They actually feed the worms peat moss. So it's a very, very, very clean feedstock that goes into feeding the worms.
Really? I didn't know they would eat peat moss.
They eat peat moss, yeah. Huh. They eat peat moss. They like peat moss. So they eat peat moss, and they produce a very, very consistent casting that's very, very clean. It's probably the cleanest material I've seen in the marketplace. So now we're working with them. They're back east, but they ship all over the United States, and they're working with us on Patriot Green Products website. So we're looking for somebody actively in Texas to help us as well.
Wow.
So if you know anybody, let me know.
Okay, absolutely. Well, you just put the word out. A lot of people watching this show may be interested. And how can they contact you, by the way, if they are?
You can contact me at info@patriotgreenproducts.com.
Okay, perfect. And Jim, what's the best way for people to contact you?
Two ways. Foodforestabundance.com. Foodforestabundance.com. And then Galt's Landing. If anybody would like to visit us here in Central Florida, we've got a private 430-acre lake and 51 acres of beautiful land, and it's galtslanding.farm.
Oh, .farm. Okay, great. What kind of magical microphone do you have there that doesn't pick up any of the wind? Because it looks like you're talking to us in a light hurricane or something.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I was actually have my hands cupped on both sides of the phone to help protect from the wind. So maybe that's it.
Oh, well, it's working. We're not getting any wind noise at all. It's almost unbelievable.
Good.
You have the best audio I've ever seen in wind.
Wow. Well, good. It's working.
Okay, Jim Gale, food, forest abundance, and wind whisperer.
There we go. My name's Gale, right? I'm the wind.
You are the wind. That's right. That explains it. You've mastered the wind. All right. Yes. Now, show us then, Kevin, if you would, this contraption here. This is something new you've come up with.
Right.
It's like a raised bed.
Yes, this is a raised bed that has been coated with NSF approved material.
All right, here, carry the mic with you.
Okay.
This is going to be challenging.
So, approved NSF material. So they spray this type of material on the inside of water tanks.
Yeah.
So the idea is, and this is just a demo model, of course, but the idea is that we want to be able to provide people with raised beds that are very light. These are very light. So a husband and wife can pick these up very easily, move them around, put biocomplete soil mix in there.
Uh-huh.
We have a wicking system in here so that you fill the bottom of the tank and it does what it's supposed to do, like nature.
You angle it towards, there you go.
See the holes in there?
So you water it through the PVC pipe,
right,
and the water goes underneath to the roots.
It does. You know, the thing with
My dog might want to take a bite out of that, by the way. No, Brody, sit. He thinks it's playtime. No. Quiet. Okay, let's not play with the raised bed. Quiet. No. All right, keep talking.
So, you know, the thing with most people that are trying to garden, they fail often because they forget to water. And if they don't have drip systems in place, they forget to water. And if it doesn't rain, this makes it simple for them. They fill the tank. There will be a float indicator in here to let them know when the tank runs to the bottom. But basically, you fill the bottom, and it has a wicking system, so it wicks from the bottom up versus the top down.
That's great. That's great, because that's where the moisture is needed. So I imagine that would grow tomatoes really well.
Oh, absolutely.
And even potatoes. You could grow potatoes in that box.
You surely can, and I've brought you some mix there that you're going to grow your potatoes in.
Yeah, I can't wait.
These are also custom-made. We can make them custom sizes.
Oh, really?
Yep, absolutely. And as you remember the war gardens, the victory gardens of World War II? These are going to be officially the Patriot Green Gardens for today.
Ah.
So these are the new war gardens that we're going to be getting out to folks. We also expect to be working with the U.S. Army very, very shortly.
Really?
These will be going on the fort here up in Killeen.
The military should grow more of their own food, too. Rhodey has a question. How delicious is the container?
You want to eat the container, Rhodey?
How resistant to dog chew activity is it?
Yeah, and I'm really excited to, you know, also bring up to speed about what we're doing with Jim Gale and Forest Abundance.
Talk to us about that. Jim's showing us some of his cattle out there.
All right, Jim.
What are they doing, Jim?
They have escaped.
Oh, no. Oh.
Looks like my dog's chasing the
Do you need to go?
No, I've got a team. They're I can hear them. They're coming. The cavalry is on its way.
I think your cattle guard forgot to guard.
I guess so. Holy cow. I hope that wasn't me that left that gate open.
that's the rule in Texas. Always close the gate if you found it closed, right? Mm.
Exactly.
Gosh, that's funny. You'll
let the cows out.
Yeah, so what do the cows like to eat from your garden there?
Everything.
they love the sweet potatoes. Actually, like, we had this one very freedom-loving cow a while back. She's now in our freezer, but she would walk out. She would walk out into the lake, and she would go like chest deep, and then go around the fence And then the first thing that she would eat is all of our sweet potatoes, which was interesting because I would be walking through and there'd be sweet potatoes laying in the pathway because she would eat all the leaves and the stems. So she harvested our sweet potatoes for us.
Wild.
So Joel Salatin was here about 3-4 weeks ago, and him and his son Daniel, and they looked at our cattle pasture and they laughed and they said, Jim, we could help you quite a bit. And, and I love that because, but that's the thing is we are now surrounded by the people who have the proven solutions to all these problems. So Joel and his team, they actually did, they showed us how to better manage. And my friends, if anybody out there has cows or wants to, go to Joel Salatin and learn the methods because it's infinitely, it's the smartest investment you could ever make. If you have cows and you want to do it right, he showed me in 4 minutes and 30 seconds, which we videotaped, how to transform this cattle pasture into a system that provides exponentially more abundance.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is very knowledgeable. We need to have him on the show, too, by the way, because I've followed a lot of his work over the years as well. So let's make a point to do that after this. But but Jim, I hope you get your cows back. and that they don't, you know, they don't trample any of the food for us in the meantime.
Hopefully they poop. As long as they poop and leave some nutrients for the food, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have banana plants here in Texas that are kind of a little bit cold resistant. And, when the cows get onto my property, they eat the banana leaves down. Yeah. They just strip them down. And they'll even eat the banana stalks, you know, the trunks.
Do you get any bananas in the summertime?
Not since the cows ate them down. But the cows were very happy about that. All right, so.
Yeah.
Tell me, let's start with you, Kevin, and we'll go to you, Jim, about in the last year, we've seen more assaults on food freedom and farm freedom than ever before in this country. Are you hearing this from your customers about a lot of new people getting into growing their own food because of the assaults on food freedom?
Absolutely. People are afraid. The people that are aware know what's happening. They see what's happening in Europe with the farmers protesting and the farmers spraying manure on, you know, the government buildings.
Which seems appropriate.
It does. Yeah. It really does. I mean, they are dirty to be doing this to our farmers. So, yes, absolutely. And then, of course, they're looking for alternatives right now. And so the one thing that we have to make sure of is that they're not seeking the wrong alternatives, because you've also heard about what's happened recently with biosolids and what they've been doing to the farms.
Yeah.
And there's class action lawsuits happening right now with those folks.
Thank goodness. And thanks for sending me tips on that. And folks, remember that every city in America turns its sewage sludge into, quote, free fertilizer for the farms. And then they take truckloads of human sewage and they dump it on farms. And it's full of everything that people flush down the toilets, which is more than just feces, but it's all their pharmaceuticals, it's all the hygiene products, it's all the cocaine that people dump in the toilet when the police raid shows up. You know, it's everything. Yeah. It's every crazy thing that you can imagine, and microplastics, and that's what people are dumping on their farms. And it's legal to do that all across America. It's crazy that your food is grown in a contaminated sewage that's also very high in you know, bad microbes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pathogens and PFAS. I mean, that's what's been contaminating the farms.
Yeah. Forever chemicals, all of it.
So the government gives you permission to use it. And then the government comes in later and says, well, your land is contaminated with PFAS and you're not allowed to grow food on it any longer.
Right.
So it's destroying our farms.
Yeah. So Jim, are you getting the same kind of feedback from people that are visiting you right now, or is there, or something has shifted in the last year?
Well, daily, I hear about this. In fact, a fun real quick story. About 15 months ago, we started construction and we decided we're not going to deal with asking for permission from the slave master. And I've been waiting for the day when the government shows up and says, what are you doing? You didn't ask for permission. Well, this happened 2 weeks ago. And I got a call from my guy on the field. He goes, Jim, come here. There's somebody with a badge talking about where's the owner. I want to talk about permits. So I walked up and I had my camera, my phone on. And I said, I just want you to know I'm recording. My name is Jim Gale. What's your name? And he gave me his name. And then I asked him, who gave you permission to come on this property? It's posted. Implied consent is not granted. And it cites case law right at the beginning of the property. Anyway, he immediately kind of became more friendly. And he said, I'll leave if you want me to. And I said, well, maybe that's a good idea. But first, I'd like to ask you a few questions. And then I said, do you know what your government will allow me to do here? You'll allow me to kill everything. You'll allow me to cut everything down. You'll allow me to do a development like the one up the road here. But what we're doing here is, according to you, not legal. And I said, that's insane. And we will not comply. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to take all the poisons out and we're going to create a demonstration site that serves the community. And you know what he said? After I got done chatting with him, he had tears in his eyes. He said, Jim, I'm a preacher on the weekends, and I couldn't agree with you more. He said, I'm aware that the food supply chain is a tool of war.
Wow.
And he said, I'm with you, and I'm going to get everybody I can in the county to be with you as well. And I almost started, I almost got tears in my eyes. I probably did. So yes, the food supply chain is the ultimate tool, besides fear, of course. The media is number one. But the food supply chain is the physical tool of humanity's enslavement. And so if that's the first domino to slavery, then the first domino to freedom after awareness that we are slaves or were is to create our own food supply chain. So we are coming together rapidly to literally create a whole new food supply chain.
See, I'm so glad you mentioned that, Jim. I mean, that's very powerful what you just said, because by growing your own food, it's about more than just eating. You're actually growing your own freedom. You're growing your future.
Exactly.
And we see right now, you know, even in the Middle East, weaponization of restriction of food from certain groups of people, you know, aid trucks not allowed to go into Gaza, people starving to death right there. Whatever the viewers believe about Israel versus Gaza, no human being should ever starve on this planet, because there's so much abundance. Sunlight, air, water, soil, it's all provided by God and Mother Nature for free. How can any person go hungry on this planet? The only way that people go hungry is by design. Wouldn't you agree, Jim?
Oh, it's 100% war, and the strategy is to control the food, control the people.
There you go. There you go. And so what you're doing, Patriot Green Products, Kevin, you know, yeah, you have your patriotism, but you're also, by teaching people and giving people tools to grow more easily and more nutrient-rich foods, you're creating resilience, redundancy, and self-reliance across the country, which will really matter when the war starts in North America.
Yeah, and I mean, as you know, Russia and China are holding back on nitrogen fertilizers because they want them for bombs, of course.
Well, but also the West did economic sanctions against Russia, so they're not even allowed to export nitrogen.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is hurting our farmers. And so we are the company and the groups that are coming together. Jim, you know, asked me to join his council. I was very honored. Thank you, Jim, to work with you and your team.
Thank you, brother.
We're all working together. We're all coming together. All these really, really smart people are coming together, and we're going to go out there and offer solutions to the American people. We have to save our country. This is really, really important that we do this.
Well, I would like to add, Jim, I don't know if I mean, I'm sure you would agree with this, but I don't know if you guys have ever talked about this. But you know what? We need a nationwide, not just a law. Ultimately, we need a constitutional amendment. We need the right to grow food in your front yard, in your backyard, any piece of land. There should never be an HOA or a city or a county that comes along and says, oh, you're not allowed to grow food there.
You're absolutely right.
Don't you agree with that, Jim?
Yeah, we obey the ethics of permaculture, earth care, people care, and voluntary share. I also call them God's laws. So I would say we go above having this be a right and just claim it, own it, be it. So yes, I agree completely, Mike.
But you know, you think about when the Constitution was written and then the Bill of Rights, 1791, it was unthinkable that there would be restrictions on growing food, because everybody was growing
absurdity.
Some food.
Absolutely.
Absurdity. I mean, you grew a little bit of something just to get through the winter. You
know? Exactly. And I mean, that's what I learned. My mom was a permaculturalist when I was a kid. We had a small farm, and We grew all of our own food, and she canned vegetables. We had a freezer. We had two freezers. We dried food. We did all of those things. I mean, she made butter. We had a cow. We had a calf. We had chickens. We had goats. We had pigs. Different times of seasons, we'd have different animals.
Like, yeah.
One year, we'd have pigs. And then the next year, we'd have chickens.
Yeah.
Sometimes all together, sometimes not. But we survived on our own, and it was self-reliance. Mom said, you know, we will always be fed and we'll be safe. Whereas in the cities, they'll be in trouble. Because when those shipments stop coming in, they're going to have issues.
Well, yeah, the cities are going to be in real trouble. Jim, let me ask you this. Water usage, because Oregon is shutting down many farms by limiting the water usage. And yet, all these states, they promote the kind of monoculture that wastes water like crazy instead of permaculture that retains water. Talk to us about water usage and how what you're teaching actually reduces water consumption.
Massively. So in water, permaculture principle is catch and store water. Sink it, slow it, and spread it. So you could take an area like the deserts of Jordan, which has been done, and by creating swales, which are basically ditches on contour, and pond systems, you catch and store water, and you actually use your land as a water battery,
right?
Or a water bank. So
that's
you
right.
have your water stored in the soil.
Yep. Well, and that's exactly what I do. Now, in Texas, you don't need government permission in most areas to build those berms or to build a tank, as it's called, a pond or a water catchment system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in Oregon, they've criminalized water catchment off your own land. You know that? They threw a guy in jail.
Terrible. Just absolutely absurd.
It was runoff from his own land.
Mm. And the other thing that we're doing, and in conjunction with Jim in Florida, we have other partners in Florida. We have 15 locations in Florida right now.
Do you?
Yeah. And Jim, you've met our other partners, Levin, right?
Yeah,
in Florida.
Awesome.
Terrific guy, good Christian man. We've created mixes that allow our cities to reduce their water use by upwards of 50% in all their green space.
Wow.
So that and new maintenance protocols. So the products that Patriot Green makes from a larger scale, doing larger projects, they will go back into the cities, and we're teaching the cities how to reduce the amount of water they use and providing them with budget surpluses.
So what is it that's in your mix that retains water better? Is it the microbiology or the material or both?
Well, it's chemistry, physics, and biology. So the physics are soil is sand, silt, clay, organic matter generally. And because we manage it with chemicals, we burn out all of the organic matter generally that's in the soil. So we end up with sand and clay generally, which make great brick when you're you know, putting water on it, more chemicals, and then pounding on top of it, like, you know, schoolyards, things like that, football fields.
Right.
So it becomes compacted. So when you water, your percolation doesn't work properly anymore because the water can't infiltrate and it doesn't absorb. The organic matter is part of it. It acts like a sponge. The biology is part of it. They have to have liquid in their bodies.
You're talking about the microbes.
The microbes, yes.
Yeah.
The microbes. And then we have biochar in all of our products.
I wanted to ask you about biochar.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the biochar really helps retain water.
It really does, yeah.
And then it releases it back into the soil when the soil mm-hmm. gets drier. So that's what Jim Gale was talking about. Your soil becomes a water battery.
Exactly. We're replicating nature, which is what Jim's doing. And what we're trying to do in these areas where, you know, grasses, they're kind of like monocrops for the schools, you know,
yeah.
our parks. But we still want to try to mimic nature because we also stop all the runoff. So because you're creating a biofilter, and so when you irrigate, all of those nutrients and the nitrates are not running off into the rivers anymore. We're retaining them in the roots where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Cools things down, too. And then with the biochar, it's a great home space for biology.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's also permanent. It doesn't decompose. So you have permanent structure in the soil.
Wow. And you offer biochar products,
yes, we
too,
do.
That
uh-huh.
people can spread out
yep.
on their
mm-hmm.
on their land. Okay, Jim, next question for you. Since I've lived on a ranch in Texas for, I don't know, 15 years or whatever it's been, I have not done big, you know, aggressive permaculture food forest programs, but I've noticed that just by allowing the land to grow back, the food has become pretty abundant by itself. I mean, I've got I've got acorns. I've got dewberries. I've got wild onions. I've got food everywhere without even trying, just because I stopped poisoning the land. You know what I mean?
I sure do. Mike, if all we did were take out the poisons and let nature do her thing, we would have radical abundance everywhere.
True.
Right? Because like this system, the birds are going to come in and eat one of these Jamaican cherries, and they're going to go to the other side of the lake and they're going to plant a Jamaican cherry tree. Right. So literally the Garden of Eden ideal is how it should be. There's some kind of major separation of just logic and awareness. And I call it evil, the opposite of live. And so that's what we're doing, is we're ascending past this evil, dictated, tyrannical paradigm into the golden age. And how do we do that even faster? Well, by coming together. And I want to highlight what Kevin's done here. And the reason I'm so happy that he's on the council is he thinks big. And now with 15 locations in the state of Florida, with the biochar and the soil things. And then I want to highlight two other fellas that are on our council, like, you know, Pat Miletich, the 5-time UFC world champ and soil savior, and Doc Will Spencer. Now, these guys have a soil fertility program that combines 1,000 different microbes and biodynamics, and it creates this compost tea that can be used. And I introduced them to Kevin. They can then introduce that living system to Kevin's system, and it's infinitely more scalable.
Yep.
So that's why collaborating is so exciting.
Wow. Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it just brings back this whole idea that I think most of our viewers would agree that we are living in the last chapter of this once great empire. The United States of America, it's departed from its original founding vision. It's collapsing as a nation. Mm. The currency is collapsing. The rule of law is collapsing. The global dominance is collapsing. We are going to have to rebuild our nation, whatever we call it, and which means we have to rebuild the entire food infrastructure, because the system that we have been living on has been killing us.
Yes. Yes, you're absolutely right, Mike. And that's where we are going to be able to help and scale this thing nationally, which is, I'm glad that I was able to work, first of all, in waste management and understanding how the waste systems work and how they move things around, what's considered clean material, what are considered hazardous materials or toxic materials, how to manage all of it so it doesn't go back on our farms, doesn't go back in the environment. But think about this. Every city in the United States, they trim trees, and they have tree waste. A lot of it goes to landfills. A lot of it goes to mismanaged compost sites and gets blended with sewage sludge and other things, and there's just no standards. So we are the standard. We're creating a standard. And this is where I'm working with Jim as well and our partners in Florida, is that we are building facilities, new facilities on farms, so that the farm will have all the fertilizer it needs to grow its crops, very, very high-quality materials. That will include biochar. We're also putting pyrolysis reactors on the farms.
Really?
So we'll be bringing in clean greens to be going into composting, and we'll be bringing in woody carbonaceous materials to go into a pyrolysis reactor to produce biochar. So when you have both, now you put both together along with the biology, now we can take care of that farm's, all of his needs.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're exporting products from his farm back to farmers and to the cities.
And let me ask you both to react to this. What you just described there, Kevin, it sounds like then your farm does not need all of these, the typical chemical external inputs that are typically, you know, put in, the synthetic fertilizer, I guess you could say,
right,
which, you know, typical farming is heavily reliant upon. In fact, Jim, tell us about your approach, the permaculture, you know, restorative agriculture approach. How much less external fertilizer do you have to use, if any?
We don't bring in anything. We release beneficial insects, and we use the systems that are all around us. Everything that we need to thrive and create radical health and wellness and beauty and abundance is all around us when we use the permaculture design principles and we design these systems into our land. It's so simple that people just don't get it until they do. And then when they do, it's like this explosion of awareness and excitement and inspiration, right? Again, I can walk outside my house anytime I want now, and within 10 minutes, I can have a basket of food to feed the whole family, and I don't have to farm anything. It's just everywhere.
Right. So you're just harvesting a salad. When harvesting. You want to have a salad, you're harvesting the core ingredients for a meal, to make a meal. And so you don't have, you know, nutrient loss. You don't have rotted, moldy produce like you sometimes find at the store, right? It's all fresh.
It's like eating sunlight. It's as fresh as it gets. Yesterday, we were out in this new sweet potato patch, and I was there with Joel, and he goes, "Aren't those annuals?" I go, "Uh-uh, they're perennials. They just keep growing and spreading everywhere." And we just dug a hole just to see if there's anything there, and we got a half a 5-gallon bucket of sweet potatoes in like 5 minutes.
Amazing.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Now, so then... Does Jim's farm use some of your product there in Florida?
Yep. In fact, I just sent you a compost tea brewer, didn't I?
Yes, I love the brewer.
The little tea brewer, yeah.
Yeah, we stack it. We buy the biochar. I'm a massive fan of biochar. And we actually wanted to become a demonstration site for Kevin, but his systems are like 2 to 5 acres, and we've got everything stacked up here. So what we're going to do is collaborate with Kevin's place that's not too far from us.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. All right. Yeah. Then, Jim, I know you might want to check on your cows pretty soon, so I don't want to keep you, but give give people a reminder again of foodforestabundance.com, and then how can they come tour your Galt's Landing?
Yes. Check us out at galtslanding.farm. And also, our Council of 12, we have a 508, a nonprofit that we are coming together to be the stewards of the fiat systems around the world. So we are inspiring major entities to tithe in a way. And then we are opening our books. And what we're doing with this money is we're putting food forests in schools, in prisons, and in community centers. And then we're putting cameras on it. We just got a TV show funded that is going to change the world. It's going to be one of the elements of marketing for the vision that frees humanity. And so if anybody out there is interested in participating, we are going to compost the fiat in a way that turns it to life.
I love that idea, compost the fiat. That's great. All right, well, thank you so much, Jim. It's always an honor to have you on, and thanks for taking the time with us today.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, you too.
Take care now.
Take care.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was awesome. That was great to have Jim on there. Yeah, he's awesome. I'm so glad that you're part of that board, too.
Yeah, I'm very honored to be on that board. This is kind of a dream come true for me, and it's been my whole life's career to solve these problems and protect our communities and protect our farms and protect our water and, you know, grow food. We have to have food. The other thing I want to mention real quick is that as a customer, if you go to our website and you buy products from us, if you have a quarter acre or an acre or more, you can become a distributor for us as well. So we help you to get the products you need to help grow food on your own farm, but then you can become a Patriot Green distributor as well.
Okay. All right. That's great. And again, what's the email address where people could contact you?
info@patriotgreenproducts.com.
Okay, perfect. All right. So Kevin, anyway, thank you for inviting Jim Gale on.
He's great.
I love his energy too. I want to do something here since you brought your new fertilizer mix.
Sure. Yeah.
What do you call this? Thunder mix?
Thunder soil.
Where's the thunder come from?
Well, because it grows so well, you can hear the thunder. Seriously. No, it's all natural. So it has our garden humus in it. It's got minerals in it. It's got special sands in it. It's designed for raised bed gardens.
Oh,
yeah. And okay, you can grow your potatoes in that.
Definitely. Well, do you mind if I open this bag?
Yeah, please
Let's
do.
Take a look
please
at
do.
It right
take
here.
A look. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Man, that's a heavy bag.
It's about 30 pounds. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just see. Let me just. I won't tear the whole thing open, but I do want to take a look here at what we have. Oh man, holy moly!
Nice, dark, rich.
Oh, it is dark and rich. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. It's even. It smells really rich. I don't know
here,
if anybody can see it. Yeah, we'll put it in this.
There you go.
There we go.
Let's see. It's very dark and rich. And
you see that?
Yeah, your Maybe plants are going to love
computer.
It.
We don't really have a close-up shot of it, but it's definitely really, really nutrient-dense, I can tell.
Yeah.
Very rich. So you said there's biochar in this
as
well?
Yes, there's biochar in it as well.
And what's the main material in here?
The main material is the material that we...
Tree?
Is the tree. The trees from Bastrop, Texas. The
wow.
Pine, the pine forest.
Wow.
The lost pines, yeah. So
and then you
that's
add
one of the main
other...
ingredients, yeah. So then we'll add some minerals and we add some sands because you want good drainage.
Yep.
And I believe we have some beets in there as well for nitrogen.
Yeah.
So give it a little nitrogen. But yeah, it's all organic, no chemicals.
So you don't need to spike it with
Nothing.
Other fertilizer
nope.
to start growing?
You just use it as it is and you can plant right into it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yep. Okay, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Then please do. I think you'll really like it.
Okay.
Take some pictures, too, when you're growing stuff.
Yeah.
So we can see it.
Well, I'm kind of wondering, since I don't want to build raised gardens, but can I mm-hmm. just dig a ditch, a little shallow ditch, and throw this in the ditch and put potatoes in
you
it?
You could. Yeah, absolutely.
Would that work?
Could. Yeah, sure. Yep. That would work.
I like
you
that.
Just made your own bed.
Yeah. Just
in the ground.
Because
yeah.
I have a little excavator, so it's really easy. Just
Yeah, that
just
would be a good idea.
Just dig a ditch 5 minutes instead of 5 hours, you know. But... I see. I've talked about compost like this as being black gold.
Mm.
So you know, we talk about assets that actually can right. outlast the accelerating collapse of our
right.
nation. You know, gold is gold. Mm-hmm. You know, and gold and silver, precious metals. And then there's water, which
right.
you know you could call that blue gold.
Mm-hmm.
Compost is black gold.
Yes,
and you can actually stockpile this in mm-hmm. a sense. Because this is food potential. This is like you know how Jim Gale was saying that your soil can be a battery for water? This
yes.
is kind of like a battery for food potential.
It really is. And water too. So the beauty is that we have these raw materials all around us. We're just being very specific about what we're going to use when we make these things. But our communities have everything we need to grow food. And currently a lot of those good materials are going in the landfills.
Yeah.
So, you know,
while people are growing in humans.
Yeah. While people are growing in human feces. I mean, it's just absurd.
So there's no human feces.
No, there won't be any human feces in there.
You know, in Texas, that's called Dillo dirt.
Oh my God.
That's the sewage sludge.
That's pretty nasty.
They market it as Dillo dirt.
Yeah. I remember seeing your documentary you did, Bio Sludge. That was amazing. But
yeah,
I mean, I have, you know, they've been kind of my nemesis in the marketplace.
Yeah.
When I was growing my business, my R&D company in California, it was those companies that were pushing me out of the marketplace.
Yeah.
Because they were coming in with predatory pricing because they could, because they were subsidized, you know, they're having paid
to dump free sewage from
yeah.
the city.
So they would literally sell it for almost just the transportation costs. And then, you know, landscapers and farmers are coming to me and saying, well, why would I pay you X dollars when I can buy this for so much less? And I said, yeah, but you know what's in there? And they said, well, I mean, the EPA says it's okay.
Right.
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 So I mean, how can you argue with them?
Yeah. Don't mind all the flies and germs and everything
nasty.
That come out of that. And that biosludge, it kills everything around it.
It's terrible stuff. I mean, we can't control what goes into the sewers from one day to the next. And I mean, I just heard recently, you probably heard about this one. In Colorado, where they're messing with the growing food right now, some nurses and doctors were recently injected with live Ebola virus.
Are you
aware of that?
Yeah, as part of a test.
Okay, so you tell me what happens when you get injected with a vaccination, where the waste goes and where is it shed?
Yeah, right.
You goes get, into
you
the
get
sewers,
viral
right?
shedding in the sewers, exactly.
Right, so...
They monitor sewers for... For outbreaks.
Right. That's how they were following COVID.
Right.
In the sewers.
Right.
So if somebody is injected with Ebola virus, you would think they'd be shedding into the sewers, right?
And then they take the sewage and spread it on the farms.
You got it.
You're going to have like Ebola corn.
Exactly.
<It's> just, Ebola crops.
Leave it up to the government. You know, they're taking good care of all of us.
Well, when I interviewed the scientist, Dr. David Lewis, who was the whistleblower for the EPA, as you know, his book, Science for Sale, that was the basis of that documentary mm-hmm. I did. The biosludge documentary, he said that the current biosludge distribution system is the perfect system for spreading biological weapons mm-hmm. by design.
Scary. Yeah.
Just like what you said.
Yeah.
They can inject a few people with Ebola.
Yep.
Boom. The trucks will spread it out into
the entire food ecosystem.
Exactly. In fact, that's why we are pushing for right now that all biosolids must be destroyed with pyrolysis. And then we'll test the char to see if the heavy metals and what else is in there. But we want to be able to volatilize off anything that could be harmful to human health or the environment so we can control that. And it makes better economic sense for the water districts to be approaching it this way than versus what they've been doing right now, which is land application. So we want to stop that. And, without fighting with those industries, you got to come up with solutions for them that make economic sense so they can turn the corner.
That's tough.
Yeah, I know.
Because dumping sewage with government permission is a very strong economic incentive because basically they're dumping toxic waste for free.
Right.
Instead of having to pay
exactly.
for it to be burned.
One city in particular in California, I presented to them what we had and how we could help the city, and they were using biosolids. And I said, if you continue to do this practice, you could be very well committing a federal offense. And they said, how is that possible? It meets EPA standards. And I said, well, let me enlighten you about something. When the materials come in, they have heavy metals in them. And if you use EPA's guidelines with those heavy metals, every time you apply, you're applying at a minimum those metals. So if you're doing double applications, you're doubling the metals. So essentially what you're doing is you're creating brownfield sites in your parks. And how many years
have
you
been doing this? Because the metals don't disappear.
They don't disappear.
They just keep accumulating.
Some of them would, like cadmium and zinc can be taken up in the clippings when you cut it, but the leads and chromiums and all that stuff, it's there. You're just going to create a toxic waste dump for the kids to play in.
Right.
Yeah. So it's insane.
Which sounds, it is insane, but that's our policy now. I mean, this is one of the reasons why our nation is collapsing. Frankly, why our civilization is collapsing, because it's a cycle of poison.
Yes.
It's like they poison the crops, they poison the food, they poison the minds through the media and all the brainwashing. They poison the bodies through vaccines and pharmaceuticals. And then they wonder, well, why is everybody so sick? Have you looked at the poison cycle?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like it's, look, terrorists couldn't do any worse than what our own governments are allowing to happen with our food supply.
Well, they're opening up opportunities for those people to do harm to us.
Yeah.
They're creating soft targets. Easy, because these people could do anything. They could dump anything in a sewer.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like if I take some colonies of like really harmful bacteria and viruses and chemicals, and if I go to a city park and throw that on the city park, I could be arrested as a bioterrorist.
You could.
But if I do it by the truckload from the sewage plant, then suddenly it's all okay.
Yeah, it's absurd. It's absurd. I mean, the laws, the EPA regulations known as the 503 regulations were written and approved in 1995. So it's been that long. And how many other chemicals and other things and diseases are going into the public sewers today versus 1995? A lot.
Oh, yeah.
So
a lot of crazy.
And they're only testing for a handful of heavy metals.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So
they're even only testing for two or three pathogens. They're not even doing a spectrum of pathogen testing.
Exactly. They don't even know exactly what type of pathogens are, and there are allowable limits, which is absurd. How can you have allowable limits? And there's Class A and Class B sludge.
What's the lawsuit that's happening right now about the PFAS in the biosludge?
Several farmers have found that their land, which they were applying biosolids to, has been contaminated with PFAS. So there's a class action suit.
What state is that in? Do you recall?
It's in Texas.
That's in Texas?
It's here. It's here in Texas, yep.
Wow.
Yep. I expect this is going to probably grow across the entire country, too, because there will be thousands of farms that have been contaminated.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, it's absurd to think that our own government said you could do it, so they went out and they spread it. So you can't really fault farmers. They spread it, and now they're telling them they can't grow food because their land is contaminated with PFAS.
Well, I know the chemical marker for biosolids application on farms.
Mm.
In our food science lab, we run multiple mass spec instruments, and I learned years ago that if you want to test a farm for whether they've had biosolids, you test for Benadryl.
Really?
Yes, because Benadryl, the over-the-counter drug, it's the number one most easily located mass spec marker in human sewage.
Wow.
Benadryl.
It's in the sewers.
Because people eat that stuff like crazy. They're always taking Benadryl.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I know that Dr. Ingham, who's also working with us, and you interviewed Dr. Ingham, she's working on trying to biodegrade PFAS right now.
That's going to be very difficult. Yeah. You're going to have some really special microbes.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but I mean, how we have to come up with a way to clean these farms up too.
Yeah, but it's like trying to eat dioxins. I mean, some of these molecules are so resistant to any kind of breakdown process. Sure. Even microbes can't deal with them. Like glyphosate, microbes will break it down eventually. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes AMPA and then some other derivatives, but the PFAS chemicals, I mean, they're called forever chemicals for a reason.
Yeah, no doubt.
You can't even break them down with UV light from normal sunlight.
Yeah, it's quite a shame. It seems ironic that they're shutting down the food supply all over the world, and they've gone out and contaminated all these farms, which now cannot provide food.
You realize after the collapse of this civilization, and sometime in the future when some future civilization rises up and starts to sample the soils, there's going to be this layer, which is this toxic layer. That's the layer we're living in right now. Oof. They're like, oh my God, this was the great extinction event. And they'll find this layer of sediment that's filled with plastics and dioxins and PFAS and everything and heavy metals. And then be like, wow, a whole civilization committed suicide.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
Civilization that were not very intelligent people. Right?
No, that's why most of them died.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, exactly.
They killed themselves off. But the ones who survived grew their own food.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah, we all need to become self-reliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when the sooner you do this, the sooner you're gonna be able to protect your families from the onslaught of what is coming. And I know, we were mentioning about the gentleman that was at Galt's Landing. He was a pastor. And I wanted to mention this because it's kind of important. We're encouraging all churches, and folks, encourage your churches to contact Jim Gale, Galt's Landing, and build food forests at your churches. And so we're encouraging it at our church in Belton that we want them to set up a CSA program so that not only can we grow food for the church, but it can be used in the ministry to teach the younger kids and the members how to grow food. But beyond that, we want to work with local farmers and get a CSA program set up so that folks can get their food right through the church.
That's awesome. I love that.
And that's how we get to the masses, as quickly as possible. And I really hope it will make a difference.
It'd be great if more churches were teaching people how to grow food. I know some do, and there's a lot of homeschooling organizations that do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you something kind of personal?
Of course.
Can you speak with an Irish accent? Because you have kind of a Liam Neeson vibe going on.
A little bit of an Irish accent you want to hear, do you?
Can you say I have a particular set of skills?
I have a particular set of skills.
Oh, here comes Bro. He's going to come around. That nails it. Don't you think, folks? Hey, can you go zoom in on Kevin here?
Oh, gosh.
Can you do it again? That's really good. Do it.
I have a particular set of skills if you'd like to hear them.
You're going to be taken.
Yeah. Or if you'd like to hear my Scottish accent, I could do that one.
Oh, yeah, it's more Scottish. I'm sorry. Yeah, his is more Scottish.
My grandfather, was from Edinburgh, or pardon me, Aberdeenshire, Scotland.
So there is. See, but you have kind of a Liam Neeson vibe.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, you do. Sorry, Brody's giving us a hard time here.
It's okay, Brody.
Thanks for playing along with me. I like to mix it up a little bit.
Sure, it's all good. Yeah,
that's really great.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've had some fun with that over the years, especially with the Scottish accent, before I was married and I was out, meeting people. And I remember sitting at a bar one time with a friend, and he was from South Africa, and I said, hey, there are these two girls. Let's go over and talk to them. And I said, I'm gonna let them think I'm from Scotland. And you can use your accent, right?
Yeah.
And then so I pull up to the bar and I said to the bartender, Laddie, have you got some Scotch up there? Can you show me what you've got? And they were like this. Oh, they heard something, right? And I go, hey, lassies, how are you doing today? And I spoke to these girls for like 10 minutes. And then before we left, I said, now, before I leave, because I'm living over here in the United States, I want to try my American accent. So I want your opinion of what you think. And they said, okay. And I said, hi, my name's Kevin. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Have a nice night. Right? And they just went, what? It was fun.
Oh, that is great.
Yeah. It was good fun.
Oh, well, even Rody likes it too. He's really impressed.
Oh, Rody.
All right. So thanks for playing with me there.
That's all good. Yeah, for sure.
You're a man of many talents. I will say that. You have a lot of experience. You're willing to have a little fun here in the studio. Plus, you're offering real solutions for people to grow their own food, be more self-reliant, live in a healthier, more pro-survival type of fashion. And I just want to say, to all those listening out there, I know we have a lot of people who are in government, actually, that watch this show and who mostly agree with us. I just want to say, what we're talking about here, this makes your community stronger, okay? If you're listening, if you work for the county, if you work for the city or a state or the federal government, this is what will keep America strong, is food redundancy.
Absolutely.
Decentralize local food. When we get into the next war, folks, whatever that's going to be, who knows what, invasion, nuclear war, grid down, cyber attack, EMP, whatever. Believe me, it's going to be food grown in small local gardens that keeps America alive and strong. And you're the man that's helping thousands of people do that.
My pleasure, my honor to help our country.
Well, you're doing a great job with it.
Thank you very much.
And your company is appropriately named.
Yes, we are patriots.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we are patriots. We are the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, and Space Force, and we're all coming together to help save our nation, save our farms, save our communities.
With a particular set of skills.
With a particular set of skills, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, patriotgreenproducts.com is the website, folks. Be sure to check it out. And you are shipping now?
Yes.
Because it's springtime. What do you have? Spring Fling 15%. What is that?
Yeah, we've got 15% off. We've got discounts right now. And I just wanted to mention that we are also working on a program that I think you'll appreciate because it involves goldbacks.
Oh, really?
Because you're involved in goldbacks.
Goldbacks right here.
So we're working on a program where we're going to be able to give folks discounts in gold. So when they buy our products, we will give them gold back.
Wait a minute. They're going to get goldbacks with the compost?
Yes. Yes, they're going to get gold with. So in other words, this is a 15% discount. So if we were offering a discount, you would pay your full price, but we'd give you 15% back in gold.
Okay, here. Wait. I've got some goldbacks right here. I actually keep some here. Here we go. There.
Oh, they're beautiful,
there.
Aren't they?
There's
oh
my some God. Goldbacks. Look at there's a the whole set right there.
Yeah. They're gorgeous. Yeah, so we're working through that right now, so you
what
will
about
see
then also, can people buy in goldbacks?
Yes.
They can?
Yes, they can buy in goldbacks. We're set up with the same organization, so.
I love that. So, all right, so if I wanted to purchase compost, I can arrange to send you goldbacks.
Yes, absolutely. We'd prefer that, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Who doesn't want gold? I mean,
really, get rid of the fiat currencies. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's great news. Okay, you heard it here first, folks. You can use your goldbacks. You can either get goldbacks as kind of like loyalty points or I don't know.
Rebates in gold.
You can use goldbacks to buy compost, which will grow food, which is better than gold.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's awesome.
That's what we're doing, yeah. It's exciting times.
I wish we had Jim Gale on here right now because he would be super excited to hear this.
he has some goldbacks as well. So that's part of our program.
I bet you that if you go, I think he charges a little bit to tour the Galt's Landing. I bet you he would accept goldbacks for a pay.
Oh, absolutely, he will. Yeah,
I know he accepts crypto.
Yeah, no, he will. He'll accept gold.
Yeah.
He's carrying them around in his wallet right now.
Oh, well,
I talked to him about this. I said,
there
look, let's do this. Let's give our customers gold back.
Again, who doesn't want gold?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, then I guess we'll have to talk after the show because I might want to spend some goldbacks and get some.
All right.
Get a truckload of compost or something from you.
Always happy to work with you. Anything you need.
I've got goldbacks, but not enough compost.
So okay,
maybe we can help each other out.
It sounds good. I'll turn compost into gold, no problem.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And I'll turn compost into food.
Exactly.
Okay, everybody wins. How is this not awesome, folks? I mean, God and Mother Nature provide the sunlight, the air, the water, the soil, the microbes, the seeds. And if it wasn't for governments getting in the way, we would all be abundant, frankly, and healthier.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And remember, we the people are the government. We are, and we need to start beginning, becoming the government again.
Yep.
Those officials are working for us.
They should be.
Yeah. They are public servants. We're not the servants.
Yeah. And plus, we know how to grow better food and more nutritious food and raise children better.
Exactly.
Look, the people are smarter than any organization, any one organization. The people know what to do. It's the decentralization of knowledge and power and resources that actually makes society strong.
Absolutely, it is.
All right. Yep. Well, Kevin, it's been a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming today. Always enjoy. Thanks for having fun with me here.
Yeah, I know. It's fun.
Scottish accent and all that. the website, folks, patriotgreenproducts.com. And you, what do they have to use for coupon code? Spring15.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You get 15% off any one product. That's spring15.
Any products that we have right now.
Okay, there you go. PatriotGreenProducts.com. All right. Well, thank you for watching today, everybody. And thank you for joining me, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you, folks. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, get busy, folks. Growing food. And this is the way to do it. And thank you for watching today. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And now I just want to get to my ranch and start growing. Actually, it's getting me all motivated.
Good. So
thanks for watching today. And join me again. More interviews, podcasts, and special reports at Brighteon.com. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Springtime is here, and we have special spring detox bundles now for you to help you save a bundle at healthrangerstore.com. And the first bundle that's in stock available right now, I've got it on my desk here. It's a combination of non-GMO vitamin C and acetylcysteine, our 5G defense product, which helps your body deal with, peroxynitrite production. That happens upon exposure to 5G radiation. We've got Turmeric Gold Plus, which has ginger and black pepper in it, as well as our nascent iodine. This all helps naturally support your body's natural detox capabilities. And if you bought these separately, they would be a lot more expensive than the special price that we have at healthrangerstore.com. Just go there and search for Spring Detox Support Bundle, and you'll see this bundle right here available at this special price, which is a significant discount off of purchasing these separately. We also have two other bundles available at healthrangerstore.com. The first is a nutrients blend bundle here that has the microalgae superfood blend here, along with our beet juice, again, all organic and all laboratory tested, along with our garden harvest blend. So this is a combination of fruits and vegetables loaded with phytonutrition, plus the microalgae that, again, available at a special price, a lot less expensive than buying them separately. And then we have one more bundle here, which is called the Super Greens Bundle. And this has our greens plus superfoods mix, our broccoli sprouts, and also our Radiance blend. Those three together, absolutely loaded with phytonutrition. Again, non-GMO, certified USDA organic, plus laboratory tested on top of that. Plus, of course, we do microbiology testing on all these products as well. We test for E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, total plate count, and we also do glyphosate testing. On top of that, we do more testing than anybody else in this industry on our entire product line. So if you get it at healthrangerstore.com, you can be sure it has been heavily scrutinized, even for heavy metals. So we test for lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, and other toxic elements as well, making sure that you get the cleanest and most nutritive foods, superfoods, and supplements that are available anywhere in the world. So thank you for your support at healthrangerstore.com. Take advantage of these spring detox bundles. They're good only while supplies last or through the end of March 2024. And right now we've got supply of all of these. I don't know how long it will last. The supply chain is always a little dicey from time to time. At the moment, we're looking pretty good. So hopefully you can get your hands on these or as much as you need. Thank you for your support. HealthRangerStore.com. Take care.